WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. MoveOn.org is a liberal political website that's best known for its work around two issues, opposing the war in Iraq and trying to defeat President Bush in the upcoming election. My guests are Wes Boyd and Eli Pariser. Boyd co-founded Move On with his wife Joan Blades. They are Silicon Valley entrepreneurs who owned the software company that developed the now famous Flying Toasters screensaver. They sold the company in 97. The following year, in opposition to the impeachment of President Clinton, they started an online petition to, quote, censure President Clinton and move on to pressing issues facing the nation. After September 11th, Eli Pariser started an online petition, the Move On Peace Campaign, calling for a restrained and multilateral response to the attacks. Pariser teamed up with Boyd and Blades soon after. Move On has been in the news lately for the contest it sponsored, inviting members to produce and submit 30-second political ads opposing President Bush that could be run on TV to help defeat him in the next election. Boyd and Pariser were hoping that these ads would be funnier than the often dull and predictable political ads. I asked Eli Pariser how they organized the contest.
We sent out an email and we asked people to come up with a 30-second commercial that tells the truth about President Bush, and we left it pretty open. You know, people could do rants or they could do animated spots or they could put together really finely nuanced commercials about particular pieces of the policy. And in the end, the ones that came out on top are really excellent critiques of the Bush administration.
Well, why don't we play a sample ad? And I thought we'd play the I chose an ad that has an audio soundtrack that isn't dependent on seeing the ad, because I thought it would translate better for radio. So this is the ad that's called What I've Been Up To, and it won in the category of Best Animated Ad. Do you want to say anything to introduce this, since we won't be seeing the visuals, we'll just be hearing it?
Well, I think, you know, this ad falls into the category of what Bush would say if he was really telling the truth. And it's an animated caricature of the president with giving a PowerPoint presentation of his first 4 years.
Okay, let's hear it.
My fellow Americans, check it. As your president, I've been real busy, so I thought I'd take a minute to let y'all know what I've been up to. For starters, I turned the strongest economy in history into the biggest deficit in history and lost over 2.5 million jobs. My good friend, Ken Lay, was in charge of that whole Enron thing. I invaded 2 countries, made a joke of the United Nations, broke the Geneva Conventions, and I still managed to take more vacation than any other president. So, to summarize, terrorist, 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 9-11, 9-11, and God bless America. Thank you.
That's one of the winners in the MoveOn.org campaign for a 30-second anti-Bush commercial. Now, the most controversial ads that were submitted for this contest were ads that compared Bush to Hitler. And you were criticized by many groups, especially by right-wing groups, for comparing Bush to Hitler. You removed those ads from the website. Would you talk a little bit about those ads and what the moral of the story is from your point of view?
Well, you know, basically, this was a right-wing, you know, Republican smear campaign. And the ads, you know, we don't agree with the sentiment. We never would sponsor them or run them on TV. But when they were being rated, they were just seen by a couple hundred people. And I think because the RNC wanted to distract people from the really powerful critiques that were in the ads which won, they took this ad, which was no longer on our website, and put it on theirs and started calling around saying, you know, look at this Move On ad.
How long were those ads on your website?
They were up for about 2 weeks, and the way our voting system worked, you know, we had so many ads to review, about 1,500 of them, that you know, each person who was reviewing ads only saw a very small sample of them. So the total number of people who saw those ads on our website was just a couple hundred, and they actually voted them down. You know, it was when you're trusting a democratic process like this, inevitably there's going to be some real genius and some sentiments that are in poor taste or, you know, things that you don't like. And the reason that we did public voting in the first place was that we assumed that people would, you know, have the discretion to vote down the sentiments which they disagreed with, and they did.
Do you regret that those ads were on the website, or do you think it was, like, legitimately your right to just put them all up there?
We really regret that comparison, you know, and we would never, you know, hold that opinion. But I think, you know, in the broad scheme of things, you know, the people who brought that opinion out into the political discourse were the people who attacked us. You know, our process, you know, was designed to get the very best comments out there. And, you know, I think if you look at the finalists, it did.
So now that you've selected the winners for your ad campaign, what are you going to do with those ads? Where do you hope to run them?
Well, we wanted to run them on CBS during the Super Bowl, but initial indications are that CBS isn't interested in running our ads, and we're currently appealing that in the CBS bureaucracy. But you know, it's actually a fairly scary thing that one of our big broadcasters can turn down ads that they don't like, even while accepting ads from the White House, which also are issue advocacy ads.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Eli Pariser and Wes Boyd, and they're the co-founders of the liberal website MoveOn.org. In June, you held what was billed as the first internet presidential primary. What was this, and what did you hope to do with it?
Well, if you recall back in June, what happens the year before an election, a presidential election, is that there's a lot of jockeying and maneuvering going on, but it doesn't actually involve real people. It involves fundraising, and it's called the money primary. So we were realizing that that was going on and that a lot of the field was going to be determined in some sense by who was able to get ahead on the fundraising game. And basically, representing these millions of people, we believe that's wrong, that people should have a voice if candidates are being determined. So what we did is we just stepped forward and said, hey, we're running a primary, and we're going to be doing it with our at that time, probably 1.4 million people. And all the candidates sat up very quickly and took notice and engaged as we engaged people in learning about them. And we ran this primary, and I think it was very successful in bringing focus to the candidates early on.
Have you found that it's easier or different to fundraise on the internet than to fundraise, say, through direct mail?
Yeah. And in fact, when people look at what we do, one of the things they think, I'm talking about people in the political world, they think, oh, gee, I get it. It's direct mail, but it's free. Well, it isn't that. Direct mail is another, in my view, another broadcast medium that organizations put their messages and candidates put their messages in these envelopes, and they have some tactics they use to manipulate an audience. And then they get funds. And the tactics typically are that you have to say really outrageous, extreme things to get people to step up. You basically have to say, the world's coming to an end. You better give now or to me, or else that's going to happen tomorrow. What we do is actually very different. What we do is because it's the internet, because it's about connections, we have a two-way conversation that we do as much work in taking feedback back from people continually as we do in communicating outward to people.
My guests are Wes Boyd and Eli Pariser, founders of the liberal political website MoveOn.org. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Wes Boyd and Eli Pariser, founders of MoveOn.org, a liberal website that has opposed the war in Iraq and is now working to defeat President Bush in his re-election campaign. You've used celebrities at MoveOn.org. For example, the ad campaign, the ad contest that you won, was juried by musicians and actors, as well as people in politics, people like Moby, Jack Black, Al Franken, Jessica Lange, Michael Moore, Tony Shalhoub, Russell Simmons, Michael Stipe, Eddie Vedder. Now, actors and musicians who speak out against Bush or who were opposed to the war are being targeted by the right, and targeted for criticism. And there are also letter campaigns to the Screen Actors Guild to put them on a tighter leash, is I think what the wording is in one of these campaigns. Why is it important to you to work with celebrities?
Do you want to take that one, Eli?
Yeah, sure. But I mean, I have to say this this campaign, it really seems like a new kind of McCarthyism, that if you speak up and you criticize the president's policies, you're not just called unpatriotic, you're called a traitor. And there are people who will harass you and who will attack you. And it just seems to me that it's totally inappropriate in a democracy where the reason that the system works is that that we're all able to engage in a conversation about the policies of our country.
Well, if you're comparing this to McCarthyism, have there been problems that actors or musicians that you know of have had as a result of a campaign directed from the right? Something that you know about firsthand.
It's like McCarthyism, I think, in its intent. It's unlike McCarthyism in that it's basically something that's coming out of the fringe right and that's been endorsed by a lot of the mainstream right, but it doesn't have resonance with Americans. And so you see the Dixie Chicks, who are really kind of the poster children for really getting beaten up for saying something. It didn't hurt their record sales. It didn't, it didn't stop them from talking about policy, but it certainly was a pretty nasty attack. And I think the danger is that you dissuade, when you talk about First Amendment law, they talk about a chilling effect. And I think it's a chilling effect that the RNC and other outfits are going for, when they attack people for speaking out.
Have you been in the position of calling an actor or a musician and asking for their help and having them say to you, "Oh, I agree with you, but it's too risky for me to come out and say it"?
I haven't been in that position personally, but I know it happens. But I think, what we find is much more of the time people say, "You know what? There's so much at stake here. There's so much about what I love about this country, which President Bush is trying to take apart, that even though it may be hard for my career, I'm going to do something." And I think at the event the other night, the Bush in 30 Seconds Award event, Julia Stiles, who was an actress who has never spoken up politically before, gave this incredible impassioned speech where she said, "You know what? I was really scared to come here. I almost chickened out. But when I thought about what will happen if President Bush's policies continue, in the next years, I just felt like I had to do something."
I was speaking with William Green, who is the founder of RightMarch.com, which is a right-wing organizing website. And he talked about the ad that his group took out in response to an ad that your group took out. Your group took out an ad against Donald Rumsfeld. William Green says that the ad you took out against Donald Rumsfeld accused Rumsfeld of betraying America.
Oh, that's right. And that actually, those weren't our words. Those were the words of a gentleman who had family members in Iraq serving in the armed forces. And I think, his right to get those words out. And, this is something that we hear a lot. We hear from people with military families over there who feel like they were really misled about what this conflict was about why they're over there putting their lives on the line. And they're not happy about it. And I wouldn't be either.
William Green of Right March was very critical of Move On for taking out an ad that basically accused our Secretary of Defense of treason. What would your response be?
Well, I don't think the ad accused him of treason, but it accused him of telling people one thing to get them into this war and telling them another thing when they're over there and they're serving. And I think if you look at it as a matter of fact, that's what's happened. Donald Rumsfeld told us before the war, you know, I know where weapons of mass destruction are. They're in Tikrit and Baghdad and to the east, north, south, and west of there somewhat. And, you know, now after the war, you know, there's no mention of the weapons of mass destruction. We don't know where they were. You know, that was the rationale for war at the time. And, you know, I think, you know, our ad simply laid out the facts.
Now, rightmarch.com urges people to fight the liberal media bias. And it accuses Peter Jennings, Tom Brokaw, and especially Dan Rather as being liberally biased. Also, MSNBC and CNN come under the same criticism. Do you have a criticism of the media for being biased in one direction or another?
There has been a consistent effort to charge liberal bias against mainstream media. And it's something that's well documented, and it's actually very systematic. And it's actually doing what they intend to do, which is push the balance. They are working the refs, is what it's called in Washington. We have to remember that this isn't a game. Politics isn't a game, although it seems like many people in Washington think it is. Democracy isn't a game. And journalists, you know, really do have a responsibility to look at these things objectively and chase the truth and get the truth out. And I think right now our charge would be that that's not happening very well, that journalists aren't in general doing a very good job, that they find themselves caught in a news cycle that's not allowing them to do their homework. And they're living in a world where it's all about the headline of the minute. I had a conversation with my brother-in-law the other day who's not in politics at all, and he said, look, I'm a news junkie. I watch cable news all day long, and can you tell me anything about these presidential candidates that are running for the Democratic nomination? Because I don't know anything about them. All I know is who's up in the polls, who's down in the polls. All I know is whose wife is campaigning and whose wife is not campaigning. What a disaster to have somebody who's actually compelled to watch hours of cable news a day and actually doesn't know anything about who's running for president. So I would make that charge, that the media really needs to do a better job of getting at what's going on and getting at the truth. Now, in addition, we do know that there is a right-wing media, that, you know, the Fox, the quote, fair and balanced, is a right-wing news outlet. And it's very intimate with the GOP.
As the United States is engaged in a war on terror, there's a lot of fighting within the United States. Some people call it a culture war. There's a lot of sniping between the left and the right. And I'm wondering if you think that it's more extreme now than it's been in the past, and if you would ever like to see some kind of truce called, not agreement, but just a truce of the sniping.
That's an interesting question. It's an odd time when the perception is that there's a cultural war, there's a partisan war going on throughout the country, and I actually don't believe that's the case. I actually believe that Americans are moderates, that there are values that we all share, and really there's an approach to government, and there's an approach to the future that we can all agree to. The problem is that the game has become so much the story that the partisanship is horrible, rancorous within Washington and as portrayed by the media. The media loves to portray the fight, and so that amplifies the fight because that's how you get attention. This, you know, it's a dangerous dynamic. It does translate. People do pick it up. The culture picks it up, and it pushes people away. We are trying to pull people in to this because democracy should be about people in engaging, and the fight that's portrayed on television pushes people away. Why would I want to be involved in politics? Why would I want to be a leader? Why would I want to give my life to public service when it's so punishing, when it's all about the fight? It's all about baloney. So I'm very optimistic because if you look at how what people care about, if you look at the polls, people care about the environment. They care about not spending their children into debt. They care about projecting a positive leadership role in the world, not an American empire. This is something we all share, and we just have to find a way of bringing that out.
Thank you both very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Terry.
Wes Boyd and Eli Pariser are founders of MoveOn.org. Earlier, we heard from William Green, director of the conservative website, RightMarch.com.